Now, we've been talking about agriculture, land use, rewetting and other things like that over the programme over the last number of years. Fears of farmers, farming organisations, rural TDs not happy with what's being proposed. Have a listen to this. This is the Minister for Heritage, Malcolm Noonan TD, speaking in the Dáil.
Actually, because I think it's probably the most significant topic raised, which was the Nature Restoration Regulation. It's a far bigger piece of legislation of law than just agriculture. It relates to our coastal ecosystems, our rivers, our urban areas. It relates to our protected Annex 1 habitats. It relates to much, much broader spheres. So the agriculture and the piece that people are getting exercised over is a component of it. It's certainly an important component of it. And the amount of misinformation I've heard over the last number of weeks is absolutely shocking, particularly from politicians, which really I find very disappointing. And I'll say that, and you know, Deputy Nolan raised the issue of food security. Just look at Emilia-Romagna this week. Look at it. Underwater, the richest food-growing region in northern Italy, completely devastated and destroyed because of climate change. And I do think we need to be responsible in relation to this. There is a training coming, and you know the Nature Restoration Regulation is happening. And I think MEPs who voted against it will be on the wrong side of history. They've also locked themselves out of improving it for Ireland. And I think that's critically important. They had an opportunity to improve it. And again, I would urge all political parties to engage in a positive way. And I am of the view that if it does collapse in Europe, that the Irish government and the Irish state should embark on its own nature restoration plan. We're already embarking on a lot of pieces of work right around the country, from life projects to blanket bog restoration projects that are leading on restoration. And I think we should do that. It's not a them or us. It's not farmers versus NGOs. I think we should all be in this together.
We should all be in this together. That's Malcolm Noonan speaking at all in relation to the nature restoration law and his concerns about it collapsing in Europe. Well, one of those who's not happy with what happened in Europe with the vote at the European Parliament Agriculture Committee on Tuesday. It voted by 30 members of 16 to reject the EU Nature Restoration Law in its current guise is Mick Wallace, MEP for Ireland South, who's with me on the line. Mick, good morning to you.
Morning, Gerry. How you doing?
Not too bad. Do you agree with Malcolm Noonan in the thoughts expressed there in the Dáil?
Yes, I do. I think it's unfortunate. It's good that the Greens have come out this week and challenged the misinformation and that's been taking place. This has been going on a while, and I personally was a bit disappointed that the Greens have not come out before now, because they've allowed the debate over the nature restoration law to boil down to a battle between farmers and nature. And that's a completely misrepresentation of what's going on here. This isn't a battle against farmers by nature. This is actually to save farming. Most farmers in Ireland are walking hand in hand with nature, more so than any of us. They are closest to nature, and they are the good side of it. What isn't good is intensive farming, and a lot of the things in the Nature Restoration Law will challenge what's happening in intensive farming. And that's one of the reasons that the vote at the Agricultural Committee this week was lost, because Big Agri, the lobbyists for Big Agri, won the day, and they got their way. But I can tell you, this needs to be passed in the interest of farmers everywhere in Europe, in Ireland and everywhere else. This is to save farming. This is to keep farmers on their land. But sadly, farmers are afraid of it, because there's fault on all sides in terms of getting the truth out and getting a clear version of what's happening. But there's also been a deliberate attempt to lie about this. And if you want me to I'll just touch on a few of the lies if you want me to, right? I mean, we've had MEPs claiming that we're going to lose 10% of agricultural land to biodiversity and we can't afford it. Mr. Taoiseach Baradkar only said this week in the Parliament, on Tuesday, I think, in the Dáil.
He said he's concerned about elements of the plan, is what he said. He said, I'm concerned about elements of it.
Yeah, and what he said was, but there are aspects of it that go too far, particularly if it comes to taking agricultural land out of use for food production. That's actually an untruth, because it is not in the legislation. I wish it was, but it's not in the legislation. I'm the shadow for our group. I'm one of the seven that's in the negotiation process on it, right? And my office have done incredible work on it over the last 12 months.
This is for the left group of the European Parliament.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the 10% of agricultural land to biodiversity, we've actually tried to get that in a few different areas of legislation since in the last 4 years, right? But we haven't succeeded. And it's not in this one either. So it's 100% wrong to say that there's been agricultural land going to be taken out of use. That's wrong. Mm. Now, there's another story being told. It's threat to food security. The truth is that if we don't pass this, it will be a serious threat to food security.
Yeah.
All the science is saying that it will be a threat to food security if we don't introduce these measures.
Yeah, like he made the point there in the Dáil Emilio Romana this week, underwater, that's where bolognese comes from, that's where balsamic vinegar comes from, Parma ham comes from, and agriculture there destroyed because of climate change.
Last year, people mightn't realize it, right, but Italy is the biggest rice producer in Europe, right? And last year, they lost 75% of the crop because there was no rain, no water. They lost 75% of the crop. Now, they're going to lose loads of it this year because there was flooding and there was too much rain, right? And unfortunately, because soil has been dilapidated and undermined by continued use of pesticides and artificial fertilizer, the soil is not healthy enough to hold as much water as it did in the past. So you had the rice crop destroyed last year because you didn't have enough rain, and this year it's been destroyed because of floods.
Yeah.
People need to wake up. This is serious. But people are not, they're not really kind of, I don't know. It just scares me. Like, and another lie that's been told by MEPs at home. They said there's been no impact statement. When they read it, there's 700 pages of an appendix to this commission proposal. 700 pages of an impact statement, right? But I mean, they're saying, what's the impact going to be when we do this, that, or the other? Because an awful lot of the measures that have been introduced, a lot of flexibility has been left with the member states. You cannot do an impact statement
on every individual country and how it will affect them.
Because they haven't even decided how they're going to do it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this. That's a fair point. Let me ask you this, Mick Wallace. What do you say to farmers who see this going on in Europe? They hear stories, and I know you've talked about misinformation and all of that, but what do you say to ones who say, look, I've invested what I've invested. I thought farming was going to be going in this direction. I've invested in a herd. I've increased my herd. I've been incentivized to do that by government programs over the last number of years. Now you're asking me to change all that. Change the way I do things. Change the way my father, my grandfather did things. Maybe, and I understand what you're talking about, and it's been clarified that no one will be forced to re-wet any land, and that's only a small part of the debate. But in the wider sense, if you're saying, look, come along, flood that land there that you worked hard to reclaim, the kind of visceral, in some cases, rejection of that by farmers, that some farmers would say, look, I don't like being told what to do with my land, and I don't really buy into your arguments, and I want to be left to be productive, and I'm worried about my bottom line as well if all these changes come in that are being talked about. What's your argument to those people? And they might have genuinely held beliefs that they're not comfortable with this.
Yeah, okay. And I could understand their concerns. I understand farmers being worried because politics and politicians disappoint them forever. They're suspicious of the EU. They're suspicious of the Irish government.
Yeah.
And you don't blame them, right? But just that particular farmer, if he has drained peatland with a view to producing food out of it, and he doesn't want to re-wet it, he doesn't have to re-wet it. And he will not be penalised for re-wetting. Now, let me just put figures on. People like to hear the figures, right? The truth is that the Commission is proposing that 116,000 hectares of peatland in Ireland should be re-wetted before 2050. Now, people are saying, oh God, all the peatland in Ireland is going to be re-wetted. No, it's not. Only a fraction of it. And the truth is that Borden and Mona are already committed to re-wetting 80,000 hectares. Cuilta have committed to re-wetting 30,000 hectares. And so we're already almost at the commission figure of 116. And that commission figure, that figure is actually coming down. It's coming down every month in the negotiations. And it will be lower again, right? The council are actually looking for 86,000. And Ireland, sadly, even with we have a Green Party, Ireland has campaigned for an even lower figure than 86 at the council level.
Yeah.
So the truth is that Borna Mona and Quinta alone
will take care of everything that's needed.
No rules.
Yeah.
And no Irish farmer is going to be forced to re-wet land that he doesn't want to re-wet.
Yeah.
There's MEPs telling lies about this. They're not admitting the truth about it.
Let me ask you this. Have you met with farmers?
I talk to farmers all the time when I'm at home, but I want to make one point, right? About the disinformation before we go off the subject, right? I don't understand how MEPs are allowed to go to meetings or put themselves in front of a microphone and tell untruths about this and the media don't challenge them. Why aren't the media informing themselves so that they actually know what's in the legislation and what's actually going to happen? Why?
Okay.
I don't understand.
Let me ask you this. You're saying you meet with farmers. Where does things stand from here? Where does it go from here, the Nature Restoration Act? And are you confident that it will make a difference, that it will get us on the road? We've lots of road to travel in terms of how we need to change the way we live, transport, flights, all that sort of thing. More public transport, less cars, more EVs. This is the land use side of it. Are you confident it will... We will get enough done, shall we say, to try and make a difference to climate change?
Well, okay, look, there's a vote at 8 o'clock Thursday morning in Strasbourg on the 15th of June at the NDC committee. And we have to obviously get across the line. If we don't, the whole thing is binned. If it gets across the line, it goes to the plenary in Strasbourg in July. Then it goes into trilogue, where the council, the commission and the parliament sit down and they tease it out and they come up with a final product. Now, do I think it's going to happen? I don't know. It's a huge challenge, right? Unfortunately, a lot of the harm has been done around the disinformation, and it's a huge problem. And I mean, this is actually to save farmers, honestly. It really is. This is in just talking about money, for example, right? Well, just before I go on to the money end of it, right? But just the fact that MEPs in Ireland that are complaining about this now, ask them, did they put in an amendment to the Environment Committee on the Nature Restoration Law? I tell you who did, right? Myself and Claire Daly put in 164 amendments. Grace O'Sullivan put in 20. Not one of the other 10 MEPs put in an amendment to the Environment Nature Restoration Law legislation. One of them. Now they're going around the country. Now, come here, just get back to the thing about the money.
We're out of time, okay. Very briefly. Yeah.
Okay, right, okay. Well, we actually introduced one of our amendments. We sought to establish a dedicated nature restoration fund in the multi-financial framework. And we've actually got it in the legislation. Our amendment passed, and it's in there. If this is passed at plenary in July. So it will mean a new stream of funding for farming in Ireland.
Yeah.
But no one is telling them that.
And that'll make the difference. Okay, and you've just told them...
Okay, but there's also, they can access money from the CAP strategic plan of each member state. There's life funding available from the EU. There's actually monies in this in the Department of Agriculture. The farmers will have to be paid to make improvements about how they do things. And
yeah.
They have to be incentivized.
And that's the whole idea, and that's the whole just transition. Yeah, Mick, we're going to have to leave it there. We really are out of time, and thanks for giving us your view on that.